This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses of all sizes across the country, functioning as their complete IT department. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Lafayette Crime Stoppers began in 1983. It assists local law enforcement to fight crime by helping to overcome the two elements that inhibit public involvement, fear and apathy. The agencies affiliated with Crime Stoppers include Lafayette City Court, Lafayette City Police, Lafayette Sheriff's Department, the Broussard, Carencro, Scott Police Departments, the Vermilion Parish Sheriff Department, and the Youngsville Police Department. Crime Stoppers provides a method for local law enforcement to receive information on crimes. These efforts increase tips, which in turn increase arrests in our community. Because of donations of airtime, newspaper space, and reward monies, Crime Stoppers has been an effective tool to fight crime in our area. As a new citizen advisory member of Crime Stoppers, it's my privilege to serve in assisting law enforcement in our community. I'm excited to learn more about the program, along with you. I'd like to welcome to today's show Major Jules Broussard, Commander of Administrative Services for the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office and its coordinator of Lafayette Crime Stoppers. As well, I'd like to welcome Mark Mouton, a longtime member of the Crime Stoppers Citizen Board, and Mark has served our community in the past by serving 8 years on the Lafayette City Parish Council. Gentlemen, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jan. Great to be here. Great to be here with you.
Thank you so much. So, Jules, I've met you recently through the Lafayette Crime Stoppers Board. As I said, I'm new, and I realized I didn't know much about the board. While I'm honored to serve on it, I realized how little I knew. I'd see things on TV every now and then, and not really sure I understood how this works, how it's funded, whatever. So if you could talk about your position with the Sheriff's Office, let's start with that, and what you see with Crime Stoppers, what you oversee.
Okay. First off, let me just give you a little bit of history about Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers actually started as an idea of a young detective in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Having gone through different leads on a murder, actually, of a young college student, unable to close the case, he actually thought of innovative ways to try to get the community to come forward and share the information. What he did was he partnered with the local TV stations, the media, and one of the important parts of it was for the public to come forward, they needed to remain anonymous. So that was the big key in it. After they did their first crime of the week, within like 72 hours, they received a tip. And it actually led to the arrest of the suspect who committed the murder, things like four months earlier of
and
the
I'm
crime.
And I'm sure that brought so much peace to that family and the community.
Oh. Correct.
Right.
And from that point forward, it just set off, and it's nationwide right now.
Right.
There are over 1,800 Crime Stopper programs throughout the United States. From a local perspective, what we see here is pretty much the same. Nobody wants to get involved. Mm-hmm. We try to promote the anonymity of it. If you see something, say something. We've partnered with our SROs in the schools. We have the kids as well as on board. They provide tips. If it leads to the solving of a crime, mm-hmm. they also get rewards. Those investigations are a little bit more detailed, only so much so that the child or the kids don't necessarily just pick other kids to point out in terms of revenge or whatnot.
Right.
So we make sure that the information that they're reporting is mm-hmm. valid. And while there's a reward, there's not frequent rewards because we don't want the wrong idea to set in place.
I have a question. An SRO, is that a school resource officer?
Yes, it is.
Are they, the sheriff's office has officers in most of the schools?
Currently we do. The sheriff's office provides SROs in two schools, Judy's Elementary and Milton.
Elementary.
Correct.
Wow. What type of crimes, if I might ask? I want to get back into Crime Stoppers, but what type of crimes would the tips,
vary. They deal with a lot of bullying. They deal with some drugs. Uh-huh. We also have a canine officer that actually goes into the schools and does random searches with the drug dog. So usually bullying, drugs.
Weapons, maybe.
On occasion. Uh-huh. On occasion. Thefts, cell phone thefts, simple crimes.
Right.
And Jan, if I may kind of interrupt, it's interesting to know now that there's a proposal, Jules, coming forward, which I think will be in your space about now having SROs in every one of the schools.
I heard about that.
It's a proposal set forth by the school board. So as times they are changing and times they have changed. So I don't know what kind of put even more, I guess, of a strain, if you will, on law enforcement as well. So, yeah, because you have to pay for those officers in the schools.
Right. But, while the officer is in the school, not only can they help prevent crime or track down petty crimes, like you're saying, that are age appropriate, but it probably would give the parents a feeling of comfort, too, given the, the climate around the country.
And just yesterday, I was an SRO officer that was called upon to defend an active shooter on campus, I think in Indiana, just yesterday.
So they do work. It does help. Yeah.
It does. Uh-huh. It does.
So this has been going on here since 1983. Tell me about, you coordinate with the sheriff's office. I do want to say, too, that we had hoped to have Corporal Bridget Dugoff from the Lafayette City Police with us, and she was unable to join us, but I want to give her a shout out if she gets to listen to this, because I know she's one of the public faces of Crime Stoppers. And I didn't realize how many departments were affiliated. So do you partner with all of these departments that I mentioned earlier?
There's a partnership with all. Obviously, because there's just the two of us, we'll coordinate with the local agencies as well as Vermilion Parish to promote whatever crime of the week they may have. We alternate weeks. 1 week we'll do Lafayette City. One week we'll do the parish or Vermilion Parish. In the event that there's nothing that happens, we will just share information. And if she needs to promote her crime of the week for 2 or 3 weeks, we'll do
so. She'll
do
that. So you kind of trade off.
In addition, we also, there's a network between Lafayette Parish, St. Martin Parish, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. They're in the process of actually forming a statewide Crime Stopper committee so we can continue the networking throughout the state.
I heard in my first Crime Stoppers board meeting that there was a crime, was it a Baton Rouge crime, and I think the suspect might have been apprehended over here in the Lafayette jurisdiction, and so Baton Rouge ended up paying that tipster. But I saw just in my first meeting how the jurisdictions do partner and work together, because we all need to help each other.
Correct. That'll happen in the event that the crime actually occurred in another jurisdiction.
The origin of
with a Crime Stopper program in place, they will usually respond.
Right.
Accordingly.
Yeah. So, Mark, you've served on the Citizens Board for a while. I know you have
probably
a career in law enforcement.
Since 2008, when I left the city council. And it's been a way, number one, to give back to the community.
Right.
But it's also an integral a part of what the citizens can do, or the citizens can take ownership in the community. I mean, it's a phone call away. And now with the electronic social media, now the website, it's just the ability for someone to see something and then act upon it is there. And it's been successful. And I'm very thankful in 1983 when Mr. Bob Holloman and Judge Cully Saloom and Mr. Red Dumas Neal sadly have all passed away, saw the need for it. Mrs. Vesta Bourgeois, I think some of your listeners may remember Mrs. Bourgeois from USL. She was a long-term employee of USL, and a donation from the Louisiana Oilfield Contractors Association was the seed funding, if you will, for Lafayette Crime Stoppers. And I think the crime of they tried to air the crime of the week the first time on the television, and something happened and it didn't work. But I think there were six calls the first day.
Really?
That aired back in May. In June, 16 people had called in, and by July, 63 people had called in.
So it really it took over.
There's no doubt. The first arrest was June 5th, 1983. The state police narcotic agents task force picked up a 26-year-old Opelousas man on drug charges. They confiscated drugs in the amount and valued over $45,000.
Oh my gosh!
So you know, right off the bat, it's it
does work.
Sure, it does work. And we have a lot of stats to share with you. I know Jules is ready to talk about that, but that's really from 1983. It's gone. Been managed by volunteers,
I was impressed with the group when I walked in.
Yeah.
What a group! I mean, I knew Bo Ramsey, Julie Falgu from the UL Foundation. I wasn't familiar with some of the other members. I knew of them in the community, but it's a heavy hitter group of volunteers that you have.
So. We do, and it's all volunteer. Mm-hmm. We have. Bridget, we're so fortunate to have Bridget Duga and Jules. Bridget is really full-time representative from the Lafayette Police Department, and we hope we can keep her. She's been an activist in the schools and as a media resource. Mm-hmm. Just as Jules is on the sheriff's side, we're lucky to have two very, very talented and very qualified and experienced officers to help us.
Jules, when I was looking at the sheriff's website, I was really amazed at how many thousands of warrants you all have to process and the load that you have. And I know there's never enough manpower to track down everyone. So can you talk about that? What are the type of crimes or what are some examples of when Crime Stoppers would step in? It's not just an armed robbery or something or a drug deal.
Well, we'll step in with any crime as long as the individual contacts the local agency, files a police report. The detectives will usually contact us and follow up. There's no crime that's really too small.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's enough information to give us some guidance or the smallest lead mm-hmm. to try to promote to where we can get the community involved, more than likely someone other than the criminal saw what occurred.
Is that true? Is that really people know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is some tend to brag about what they look at as their accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So other people know other than the criminal. So our job is to promote whatever we can to get the public to speak. Again, I can't stress enough how important it is for the public to know that they remain anonymous. I get questioned all the time.
For their safety, they need to know
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. With the new P3 app, it's actually an app where the tipster can communicate with the call center or with myself, Corporal Mouton, or our office administrator real time.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know who we're speaking to. We're typing to a number, basically. So in the event that, you know, they're reporting information that is pretty live, we can respond back and forth to them if we need additional information and still have that person remain anonymous.
Okay. So people call, it's not just necessarily something they see on TV. They call and say, I know that my brother-in-law robbed a bank, let's say. We were talking about that. Mm-hmm. Mark and I, on the way over, the Chase Bank was just mm-hmm. robbed.
And we've already, yeah.
This week?
Yesterday.
In the oil center. That's my bank. I was frightened to hear that.
Right across from my office. I looked down on the parking lot. But in preparation for this meeting today and visiting our Crime Stoppers office, we've received several phone calls on both to the call center as well as to local this morning. So
Hopefully they'll be apprehended quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
All I could think of was the tellers that have been there forever. That
so many.
Just they deserve safety and a peaceful working environment.
Sure,
but,
sure.
Things happen.
Horrible to have happen. And clearly with the, you know, with the cameras.
Yeah, that helped.
Yeah, he was seen on no less than 5 different office cameras changing. So
I love
not,
it.
Yeah,
changing
not,
in the parking lot.
Yeah, changing
lot.
In the, yeah. If you're going to change, make sure you don't do it.
Drive off first. Yeah.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Well.
And clearly, if, I'm sure that it'll be passed along and detectives thoroughly, mm-hmm. you know, they don't just go out on some wild goose chase. They vet these tips, and we're hopeful that this one can be closed for your friends at the bank, Jane.
Well, I know. They are friends.
Sure.
I just can't imagine, I guess, because not that I don't have a criminal mind. I guess we all like, you know, I'd like to do this or that. But to think about committing a crime and then telling people about it is just incredible to me. It seems like you would want to keep it quiet, you know.
Well, I think what happens is they become so comfortable with the idea, especially as time passes and they still haven't been caught.
Got away with it.
So yeah. Then it becomes a repeat. Then it's a habit. Mm-hmm. So, and again, not getting caught, they'll talk about it, they'll brag about it, mm-hmm. and not necessarily aware of who's in their inner circle.
Why?
You know, Jan, since 1983, the Crime Stopper awards have been paid. We solved 187 armed robberies.
Wow.
In Lafayette, in the surrounding area, since those are mm-hmm. calls into Crime Stoppers, 187. And we're hoping to make that 188
right.
by this afternoon. So
right.
that's just in the armed robbery category. Murders 45, attempted murders 50, rape 13, kidnappings 8, burglary 516. If you've ever been burglarized, fugitive warrants and recoveries of narcotics 1700. Aggravated battery, some 17. So clearly, these phone calls do have an impact,
right.
And they do make a difference. Mm-hmm.
So. What type of awards are given out, Jules? You know, I'm sure there's a sliding scale for maybe a warrant. Somebody didn't show up for something versus a murder.
And they vary. It is actually assigned through a point system through the software. Mm-hmm. So basically, when the tip is entered, it's categorized, and through the point system, a reward recommendation is given back to us.
Generated by the computer, it's a dispassionate.
And then that recommendation will actually go before the board. Mm-hmm. The board will review what took place. They'll hear the recommendation, and then a final vote on if it's going to be accepted or not, and what that amount would be occurs.
Are people paid in cash for the tips that are effective?
Yes,
where
they
the crime
are.
Is solved?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Because we were talking, I know in my first meeting, some of the tips, you know, they were for really minor crimes. So it was maybe $50 mm-hmm. and went on up to a few hundred dollars because my first meeting, we didn't have serious crimes that were being
Thank
solved.
Goodness.
You know, yeah, right. But so it really can be up to maybe $1,000 or so
yes.
in our jurisdiction.
Correct.
And, you know, I think, Jules, it's safe to say that issue is being looked at mm-hmm. Insofar as the range and the amounts. Certainly on high visibility crimes and stuff, you'll see people will actually come forward and additionally add to a reward, mm-hmm. Maybe a company or a family or something to that effect. And those are done outside of the Crime Stoppers as well. So,
a crime like the Mickey Shunick case, is that something like, does Crime Stoppers, did y'all get tips about that? Do you know?
We did. And my memory goes back.
Yeah, it was.
It was very helpful. I do recall that they did receive several tips. But just as soon as the tips come in, again, no tip is too small.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hesitate on calling because they feel that the information is not as important. But what they don't realize is that their tidbit of information
mm-hmm.
coupled with someone else's
that missing
gives us
piece of the puzzle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How do people call in? What do you, where do you call?
They can call 232-TIPS,
okay,
or they can use the P3-TIPS mobile app. Basically, with the mobile app, they log in, they generate a passcode for themselves, mm-hmm, they select the city, state, and the organization. Once they do so, they're provided with a number. That's their identifier.
Okay.
They can determine what the crime is. They can upload pictures. They can upload videos. So when we get the tip, it may be a live video of a mm-hmm crime being committed. And then from that point forward, it's just a matter of time for us to positively identify
right
who those individuals are
right
in the videos.
Yeah.
Since implementation of the P3 app, we've seen an increase in tips. We've seen an increase in crimes being solved, more so because a lot of it is real time. So mm-hmm the clarity of some of the pictures and videos that are uploaded
right
is very easy to identify. Again, someone knows.
Yeah. I know we're all smiling here. I'm enjoying this. I've never worked in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I know you have, Mark, mm-hmm, and Jules, you're a 28-year veteran, so you've seen a lot. But, you know, for most of us, we're very sheltered, and thank goodness, very insulated from day in and day out, the things you see.
You know, you think about, you know, a police officer on patrol, in addition, I mean, has two eyes. I mean, it's one, you know, mm-hmm, really one set of eyes in his or her zone. And you take the number of calls, the service calls, requests for service calls, which are, you know, everything from A to Z. It really, he or she can only do so much.
Right.
And so now you have an entire community taking ownership, mm-hmm, of and making their community safer.
Right.
And so we've said all the time is, you know, here's what you can do. You can be a bystander, or you can be an activist. Mm-hmm. And your activism is, you know, you're not going to be given a reward. A steak dinner, or you won't be put in the. But you'll get a nice little check and the right satisfaction of knowing that you were able to solve something. Maybe as you talked about, making a parent or maybe recovering merchandise. I mean, you look at the property recovered since inception is over $5.5 million of property that's been returned to people.
Yeah.
Narcotics off the street in excess of $20 million. And once again, this is from a citizen, an individual taking the mm-hmm 30 seconds, 40 seconds it is to dial 232 right tips or sign up on the app.
And it's a P, the letter P.
P3.
We can just look it up.
Correct.
On the app.
P3 yeah tips, yes.
Crime Stoppers Lafayette is.
Okay.
And one of the things that's really important from a law enforcement perspective is to continue to build the relationships with the community. And the Crime Stoppers Board has been great with assisting us with that. Annually, we do a national night out campaign where we partner with the community in local parks in the various jurisdictions. And we just promote safety, give crime tips on how to be more vigilant. And it's just a great network, great partnership.
I have a question about the funding. I've heard about ACT 50. The money given out doesn't just appear from nowhere. How is the program funded?
There's Act 50. There's donations. Act 50 deals with the court systems from the various municipalities.
So people, when they're in the system, they have to pay fees.
Right.
Correct.
And a portion of that goes to... It's by legislative act. I mean,
okay.
Act 50 was established by the legislature. So.
And then donations, as you said, mm-hmm, the initial funding was through a donation, and so you do accept
Correct.
Donations from
yes,
people.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And they can do that via the website. Mm-hmm. They could do it on Facebook. We're also on Instagram, and we're currently in the process of getting YouTube going, so they can actually see the crimes of the week on YouTube as well.
And it's a 501c3,
Absolutely.
I think, a charitable
Absolutely.
Contribution
Correct.
For people that would like to contribute.
You know, people say, well, if we donate to Crime Stoppers, you know, what, you know, where does our money go? Well, in addition to the paying out of the tips that are verified, we also support the local law enforcement. The insofar as a department may have an immediate need, which wasn't put into their budget the year before. Jules knows all about that. You have to plan your, like businesses do, but there are certain things that come up where just recently with the number of drugs being brought into the parish jail. The sheriff was kind of at a, needed an additional dog to be able to search these visitors to stop this contraband going in.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and the dogs are not cheap, Jules. A trained dog is not cheap. So rather than him having to go to the council or or amend some other budget component, he came to us through a pretty exhaustive, I guess, investigation by the Crime Stopper board. We agreed to buy the dog, and we bought the dog outright. The dog's name is Thunder, and as we appreciate, he is doing a remarkable job.
What do they cost? What does a dog, you know? Put you on the spot.
Just the dog, roughly about 15.
15 or 20,000, yeah. It's expensive.
But well worth it, though.
It is.
Oh, very much so. And we've assisted Scott Police with a lot of, I know some of their transportation issues around over at Acadiana High. We bought the horse trailer to move the Lafayette City Police Department's mounted division around. That horse trailer was, you can have horses, but you got to be able to move them around at the various events. So it's a, I guess, a part of the the service of the board that that we really like to be able to come when they come to you and not have to wait or wait 6 or 8 months. I think my second or third year, we bought a software program for the Lafayette City Police Department, which helped in the this horrible child pedophile identification online solicitation. And just admire the men and women in that department that have to sit there and monitor that. But the software, as technology, as we know here at Raider Solutions, it changes by the hour. By the hour, and we shouldn't be any. We shouldn't have to wait for that. And those officers came reluctantly and said, "This is really the new cutting edge, and we can make a difference." And the board unanimously approved. So, in addition, I guess our last plug for Crime Stoppers is our downtown camera program. We're kind of working with the Downtown Development Authority, which is kind of transient in its leadership. We found, I don't mean that in a, we seem to have one group, and then that group changes, and we start over again. But with the police department to deploy additional cameras downtown. So
I'm a proponent of cameras. I had the police chief on, Toby Aguilar, and loved our interview. But he was saying how even he didn't like the red light cameras. And I just feel the more you can capture on video, whether or not you catch speeders or people running red lights, you can you can solve crimes.
You talked about keep people safer.
You
talked about the Shunick case earlier. You can ask Mr. and Mrs. Shunick what they think about the cameras.
Well, yeah, it helped
because
find,
that's what
the culprit.
And you know, I guess I can say this. I was on the council, and I think one of the swing votes on the red flex cameras at the time. Yeah, not the most.
Which way?
Four. As a police officer and worked at Acadiana, and my idea on the red light cameras was if you don't run red lights, you really don't have anything to anything to worry about. Speeding issue. It should be noted that I received a violation. I was the second council member to get the violation. Mr. Menard actually got one on the day that it came out. Randy got
it
one.
It worked. It's proven effective.
Of course it did. But that's just the idea is that they're here. They're a part of life.
Yeah.
At the banks and anywhere that you go now, at the airlines, anywhere you go. And it's you may not like it, but it's part part of where we are.
And nowadays, you know, with the technology, the camera systems, the clarity is just amazing. One of the things that our community policing unit has done, in addition to Neighborhood Watch, they've been promoting Business Watch. So basically, they just try to get businesses that are located
around
each other
to
partnership, either combine and purchase cameras to catch all businesses or establish that networking so they can exchange video footage in the event that they become a victim.
So things have changed for you, Jules. I mean, you've been with the department 28 years. The technology advancements must really not make your job easier, but help you more effectively solve crimes.
It does. Like I said, going back to P3, mm-hmm. from going from 232 tips to having this mobile app is just amazing.
Yeah.
The communication between the tipster and the organization itself, mm-hmm. it's by far the best.
Right.
It really is.
Right.
Nowadays, the millennials, they deal with their phones.
Oh, they've got it. Yeah,
mostly.
They're capturing everything.
Exactly. So we communicate a lot via the website, or I'm sorry, the app versus mm-hmm. The tip line.
Right. Right.
It's still Jules and Bridget and I, we have a staff member attend the National Crime Stopper Conference each year, and I think this it's great when they come back because we hear all of the new things that are coming out and what the other Crime Stopper mm-hmm. Organizations are doing. So
we learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been very good, and we've actually visited with Baton Rouge and New Orleans and this statewide consortium. We've actually worked just in the last few months, too, with Iberia and St. Martin mm-hmm. and Acadia, along with the TV stations. I can use the word shout-out to our local television stations, but we've put together that consortium where the filming of the crime of the week it requires someone to come out and do it. And mm-hmm. of course, the stations are called upon a lot for public service. But we've been able to put that together and various TV stations to help, and then also to share the footage.
Yeah.
So we had a long time partnership at Channel 10, but now we're showing on Channel 3 and I think soon on Channel 15.
Yeah.
So you can capture different
audiences.
Sharing it around. So
you like being on TV, Jules?
I do. Not so much being on TV, but actually putting the information mm-hmm. out in attempts to solve the crime.
Yeah.
Our detectives, they work hard to try to get these mm-hmm. cases solved. So anything that I can do to help mm-hmm. from my position
right.
is beneficial.
Right. You're so thoughtful. And I'm really honored to be a part of the Crime Stoppers program.
We're glad to have you. And this is yet another... doing what we're doing is another component in trying to help mm-hmm. sort of brand the Crime Stoppers name. I know that in discussions this morning, once we put the footage from the bank robbery yesterday up on the website, mm-hmm. We received two calls within an hour.
That's awesome.
Just on the computer.
Yeah.
So, and when you think about, Jules talked about the millennials, but you think about the power of this and
cell phone,
numerous computers here behind us and this unbelievable facility that Chris has built here is, mm-hmm. wow, this is unbelievable. Come and see this if you haven't seen it. But
Raider Solutions.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
But those are things that I don't think the gentleman, when he went to the bank yesterday, I didn't think that he would He would have 1,700 hits on mm-hmm. in the first hour.
Yeah, he didn't think through the consequences.
I don't think he thought that out. So obviously, you know, going forward, if we can prevent, we're not going to stop all crime. We know that, but if mm-hmm. we can at least deter or prevent it, or and more importantly, keep the community safe.
Right.
That's the other issue.
Yeah.
So.
And I do want to make a comment from what Chief Aguilar told me. One of the best ways to stop crime is to be thoughtful about yourself. Lock your car door. Keep your house locked. Don't leave a firearm visible in a car. There are things we can do to protect ourselves and our mm-hmm. community to stop crimes.
Sure.
But when that falls through the cracks, we're very, very blessed to have you, Jules Broussard and Bridget Duga, working on our behalf. Have we talked about most of the statistics that you wanted to get in?
For the most part, yes, but from a national view, mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that of the Crime Stopper programs, we submit our statistics nationally. Not all programs do so, but of those that do, to date for 18, 715,000 arrests have been made. 14,630 homicides have been solved. 1 million cases cleared. Rewards paid out. 106 million. Property recovered, $1.1
billion.
Oh, so the numbers the numbers show that the program works. Mm-hmm. As Mark mentioned earlier, you know, just having that many tips in such a short amount of time, it shows that there are concerned citizens mm-hmm. and that they're comfortable with the program that we have in place.
Right.
So it works.
Right.
It works.
And another thing that works, I know that our local law enforcement is very effective. From what I understand, if you know, murders, as an example, are more often than not solved here, whereas in other jurisdictions, possibly even in Louisiana, that isn't the case. So I want to commend the Sheriff's Department, the police departments, and all of our law enforcement officials that work on our behalf.
And we don't want to, you know, as the parish continues to evolve and change, mm-hmm. we now have, I remember back in 1980 when I was at the sheriff's office.
This is scary, Mark, thinking about you driving around.
It really is. But, you know, Scott had one police officer.
That's it.
You know, I had a chief, and they had a part-time assistant chief. And now I think they've got, I don't know how many are there. Jules, I don't know.
They're probably up to at least 15, 20.
Karen Crow had, and the same thing out in Broussard. So, and it's great to have these guys participate as well. They actually were able to, and you'll see, Jan, in your board service that maybe an arrest in Karen Crow by the Karen Crow Police Department mm-hmm. or by the, and they also contribute to the program through their various municipal courts. So it's a, really, I think one of the things that I enjoy the most is our annual meeting where we honor a person, an officer from one of the departments, including UL. And just amazing stories, and you hear what these dedicated men and women do. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing, and it really makes you feel good that we have these people here, and that we're able to, as an organization, albeit be just a plaque mm-hmm. of some sort.
But that's uplifting to be honored.
It is. And then, mm-hmm. as I said, when you hear the names are submitted by the departments, so it comes from within. It's not from the outside. It comes from within. And when a chief or a commanding officer, if you will, gets up mm-hmm. and talks about what this person does, what he or she does beyond what the job description is, the number of arrests, the follow-up, just the story that we had with the Kaplan chase and the recovery and all of that.
I mean,
it's real time. This is not television. This is real time, and you hear the story about what this officer did and actually putting himself between someone who had already killed two and with the intention to go and kill more and wonderful. And
I think you'll
get the same feeling that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that I get in going to the meeting. So
Jason Sikora is here with us from Raiders Solutions. And Jason, I know you listen, and sometimes you have some thoughts or questions. Is there anything that we didn't cover?
I have a few questions because I didn't know really anything about this other than the TV spots.
Right.
So besides, obviously, it's a very effective program, and when you have a mobile app with the TV spots or technology downtown cameras, it makes it even more effective. Are there any other resources or things that you think could be put into place that you don't have that would make either your job or the Crime Stoppers program even more effective?
That's a good question, Jason. Jules,
I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but
it's yeah.
Well, when I think about it, everything leads me to funding.
Okay.
And when I say funding, it takes me to training. We cannot train enough. The more we train, the more we enhance the equipment that we have, we're better able to deal with what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer to be proactive than reactive. So if we're one step ahead of the game, then it makes things better. But technology and training.
Okay. Can people volunteer to help?
Yes, we do have a reserve unit. Our reserves are post-certified police officers. So they go through the full academy just like a regular officer would.
Okay.
but they're a reservist. They all have normal Monday through Friday 8 to 4:30 jobs, and they come out when they can and support.
Okay, and what kind of stuff do they do?
They're post certified, so they'll work in a patrol car beside a patrolman unless they achieve driver status. Okay. Then they can actually go out alone as a patrolman. We have a search and rescue team. We have a dive team. Just a number of a number of events.
Cool. Do you guys have a Twitter feed?
We do not.
Okay.
That is something that has been brought up, and I tell you, Jason, we would welcome you into you know, you for the exception of Bridget and Jules, and I will say that the majority of our board, I guess you'd say we're 8-track people in a DVD world.
Yeah.
And the thing about Twitter is you really have to keep on posting to make it relevant.
Yeah.
So it's another adding social media. I know you want to do what you can to be effective, but
well, the reason I ask is I have three monitors back there, and on one of them is my Twitter feed. And so I get real-time news throughout the day via that, because I don't necessarily have time to browse, but I do have time to just glance over and see. So if I saw, you know, a Crime Stopper thing pop up,
he's taking your name down, so get ready. Well, that might be something that we need to bring up, and be careful what you ask for, Jason, because it might fall on you. You might be the person that we recruit to help. But
Jules, do you have interns like from UL, or do you have interns that help you?
We do. We actually just implemented the intern program.
That sounds like an intern duty. They could do.
It
Twitter
is. As a matter of fact, this week we reached out to the university for two colleges there.
And that'd be a great.
Julie Falgu, Dr. Falgu, Julie's been real instrumental in helping us in that space. So
right, to get young people, it's Twitter. Well, I guess Instagram.
Instagram and Twitter, I think, are more for the younger. Where I think Facebook has now been relegated for people like me, a little bit older. I'm almost 40.
Uh-oh.
My last question, and it's kind of my go-to, is there something about your job, about the program itself, that most people are unaware of? Kind of like pull back the curtain a little bit.
I would say that that most people are, I think there's the component of how people are paid. I think that probably would stand out. But insofar as the program itself, it's run with one actually paid full-time staffer and Jules and Bridget.
Okay.
And about 300,000 or 400,000 other participants. We have the largest number of employees to call upon. And if you look at the always look at the pair of eyes and the number of eyes that we have. We've received tips from people driving through the community or someone staying in a hotel and seeing a car which matched what they saw on the television in the hotel room.
Wow.
But to tell you what really stands out,
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Yeah,
you can get back to me on
that's
it.
That's why. Yeah.
And if y'all think
we probably will at the board meetings when we put your name up for a board spot.
And I'll be posting all this on our website, Discover Lafayette, so I can put show notes after if things occur to you.
Obviously the statistics that we have there's no fudging. I mean, it's real. It's public money. The Act 50 money is. By legislative act, so there's a stewardship of those dollars, other than that, Jules, I don't.
That's good enough for
that's
me.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just like to pull back the curtain a little bit every now and then and get a look inside to where
and
most
we
people
all...
might, because I know the TV spots. That's all I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I know so much more about it. I'm sure everybody listening it'll be the same way. They've learned so much in this past 40 minutes.
I didn't know much about it. I just knew about the TV, and I didn't know anything about the funding. And you don't really think about it till you get to hear people such as Jules and Mark talk about the
program. We've really got some as I said from the Julie from the university, and we've got a new focus. I received an email this morning on one of our new board members is going to really hit up the fundraising and the corporate side of the fundraising, and which will help us. It'll mm-hmm. help us not also with to offset program costs, but also to help us with the grants that we receive from the mm-hmm. various departments. We don't want to have someone come forward and us not be able to fund that grant. So Mr. Laverne, Dan Laverne, has really taken an activist mm-hmm. role in that, and we're lucky to have him on. Right. He's spent an unbelievable amount of time in with the categories of the fundraising, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys being
thanks,
here.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much.
And I think the public is aware, you know, of Crime Stoppers. I think we do a good job of promoting it. The transparency of it as much as we can, because again, priority for us is to make sure that the tipsters remain anonymous. But in promoting it, one, I just want to thank you, Jan, and Discover Lafayette for your interest in Crime Stoppers and your interest in assisting us with making the public more informed of what the program is.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
And we welcome you to the board as well. So.
Yeah. I look forward to our next meeting. So I'd like to take a moment again to thank Raider Solutions and Jason Sikora for taping today's episode of Discover Lafayette. Our guests have been Major Jules Broussard, Commander of Administrative Services for the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office and Coordinator of Lafayette Crime Stoppers, and Mark Mouton, member of the Crime Stoppers Citizen Board and a public servant. You've done a lot for our community, Mark. So thank you both. Thank you for listening also. This show and all of our shows can be listened to at discoverlafayette.net. You can log in. You can subscribe. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can subscribe to this podcast. And you can get them delivered every Friday to your phone or to your laptop. So we encourage you, please, to subscribe. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.